Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 69 of the From Pain to Power podcast. And I'm really excited about this conversation because it is something that I am personally very passionate about and professionally. And even though it might seem like it has nothing to do with the menstrual cycle or chronic pain, I do think that this topic is really important when it comes to our nervous system, our identity, our well-being, our mental health. So yeah, I'm really excited to introduce this topic of From Pain to Power with money and finance. I know that this is going to be hopefully relevant for a lot of people, and I will just do my best to share a little bit about my own sort of professional take on this conversation for women, and also share a little bit about my own personal journey too. So before I get into all the juicy good stuff on this topic, I want to remind you that we have applications open now for the 2023 Menstrual Cycle Coaching and Facilitation Professional Training. We are beginning in October. Spaces are coming in, and this year we have capped the group at a limit. So if you are interested in that, do head on over to the link in the show notes where you can read more about that course, you can watch the webinars, and you can send us in your application as well. Okay, so this conversation, our relationship with money and finance, I may as well start with my own sort of personal journey a little bit. And it's interesting that I think about this because I don't think I have had a conversation about this really publicly yet in my work. I do talk to clients about this conversation, money and finance, and I also teach and coach on this in my group coaching program, obviously, because it's a professional training. But I actually don't think I've really spoken about it very much in my podcast or on my social media. So I think it's about time that we open up this topic. And I really do hope it's helpful for you. So to give you some insight into my own personal journey, and the reason I'm going to share this is because I think it's helpful to reflect on our history with this topic. It's such a big topic. There's a personal piece, there's a cultural piece, there's a family piece, there's a systemic piece, there's a gender piece. And so I'll just maybe share a little bit about my own personal journey, and then hopefully that will inspire you to think about your own as well, and hopefully make you feel like you're not alone, because I know there can be a lot of shame as well around this conversation. So for me, I grew up in a family where my father was the main earner, and he was also the person who kind of managed the finances. My mum was working. My mum was working kind of both full-time and part-time, and she had four kids, and she did get a lot of help. But my parents didn't have their own parents because their own parents were dead when they had kids. So mum was very, very busy. And my dad was the main earner. And then my dad was in a job where he was working actually in finance. And he was working in a role where he was traveling quite a lot, so he wasn't really around a huge amount when I was growing up. And then also the role of managing finance was also, I think my mum was sort of in charge of bills, but when it came to the more complicated finance, investing, mortgage, pensions, all that kind of stuff, that was very much on my dad's side. And my mum did earn, and she still does, she works and worked as a translator, and she's brilliant at her job. Earn very well in that field, but in terms of the family earnings, it was definitely mostly on my dad. And so that was sort of my upbringing. And when I reflect on my own history in school as well, I was a very hard worker in school, very studious, and very much raised, you know, my parents really raised us to like study hard and make an effort and put the work in and achieve high grades. So there was a lot of, probably on my part, overachieving. So that's something I have to keep an eye out for today. But ironically, I do remember studying business when I was about 14 or 15 and we had what's called the junior cert exams here, when you have these state exams in school at that young age. And I actually failed my business and accounting exams. And then fast forward to university, I have two university degrees, but my first degree is in business. And I remember also failing my first year exams in university. And, you know, the reason I did that course in university was because my degree was also with French. So I was kind of more interested in the language and the philosophy side of things. And I did like economics, but I wasn't very interested in accounting or finance. And I found those subjects very difficult. And anyway, so the reason I'm telling you all this is because I have kind of told myself all my life that I was bad at money, bad at managing money. You know, I failed my accountancy exams. I didn't really understand, you know, the sort of the micro level. I was good at like macroeconomics and understanding sociocultural things. And then I was good at the kind of more creative artistic things. But I just had told myself this story that I wasn't good with money and I wasn't good with finance. And I was never really, even though my dad worked in finance, he didn't really sit us down and teach us budgeting skills or accountancy skills. But in fairness to him, you know, one of the lessons I did take from him was to not ever be in debt. So I've always been very wary of taking on debt or having credit cards and that kind of thing. So I'm very grateful to him for that. But in terms of like, you know, making money, managing money, investing, pensions, mortgages, all that kind of grown-up stuff, I've always felt like I never really understood that and kind of shied away from it or pretended that it, you know, it wasn't important. And so that was, I suppose that was the kind of the story I told myself, not realizing that that was the story I told myself. And then I had jobs. And in Ireland, when you are in employment, all of that is looked after. Your taxes are paid before you get your salary. The jobs I had, my pension was looked after. You know, a lot of it was kind of done for me. And the only money management that I really had to figure out was making sure that my salary was enough and paying my rent and paying my bills and putting some money into savings, which is what I did. So yeah, it was, you know, that was, and I think that's a very, very common story. But then fast forward to now having my own business, you know, fast forward several years forward, as a business person, when you step into business, then you do have to, you know, none of that is done for you. Your pension isn't done for you. Your taxes are not done for you. Budgeting, figuring out how much to charge, how much you need to pay yourself, etc., etc. None of that is done for you. And that is something you have to figure out for yourself. And I've now come to realize and learn that there's a big difference between learning how to make money and learning how to manage money. And those are two very different skills. So I'm going to go into that in a little bit more detail. But the reason why I'm sharing this topic and this conversation with you today is because I'm, you know, I'm working with women and people with menstrual cycles, and I'm working with trauma and I'm working with chronic pain. And what I see in my work and in the world, and I've seen in myself, is that there's such a gender piece on this. There's all these stories that we as women and people who are socialized as women tell ourselves about money because of our history. Obviously, you know, we haven't exactly been encouraged to make money and we haven't been taught these skills of how to manage money. And so sort of on the systemic level, what I now understand it to be is there's a lot of gatekeeping of information. And the more, it's really interesting, like at the moment I'm doing a lot of research into making sure I have the right pension set up, etc. Because as a self-employed person, you have to either pay someone to do that for you or you have to do that yourself. And either there is a sort of a tax benefit that you get if you contribute to your pension. And obviously it's an important thing to have, but there's a lot of reading and research involved. And what I'm really seeing, the more I, you know, even though I'm not talking about this all the time, it's something that's happening for me in the background. I'm doing a lot of reading and researching and learning about this stuff. It's really becoming clear to me how limited it is, the access to information around personal finance and business finance. And even just the language around it all, it's all, you know, full of acronyms, and you have to read the small print to understand you know, how much your fees are going to cost you if you're setting up a certain pension or an investment fund, etc. And there's just a huge amount of, you know, lack of support in terms of understanding the information. There's a lot of gatekeeping. Even if I think about, you know, it's similar to the menstrual cycle. Like if I think about the education that I got in school and in university around personal finance, there was none. There literally was none. There was nothing. And anything that I learned, I certainly didn't learn anything about that in school. In school, I studied economics. So it was all about, you know, business and macroeconomics and GDP and interest rates and all this kind of stuff. And then in university, the university that I went to, it was very difficult. It was a lot of theory and history of business and all that, but there was nothing, like I didn't even learn how to use Excel. I had to learn that when I went, you know, worked in a bank after and in the jobs I had after college. And it's just been a lot of, you know, looking back and seeing like all the gaps in the education that's actually needed. It's kind of similar, like similar to the menstrual cycle. We weren't taught the full picture in school and we've had to do a lot of filling in the gaps. And the same goes with relationships. And I think that's another big area in our lives that impacts us every single day and how important it is to have relating skills and understand how to navigate relationships, personal relationships, friendships, family relationships, romantic relationships. Like I didn't take a course on that in school. I certainly didn't take a course on that in university. I just had to, you know, learn these things the hard way most of the time, make a lot of mistakes, and then figure it out. And it's just been a lot of heavy lifting, and the same, exactly the same goes for finance. So what I have seen in a lot of my friends, in myself, in, you know, even in not just women, like all genders, is a lot of shame. There's a lot of shame if you're not like working in finance or like working on Wall Street. A lot of people carry shame around their relationship with money. And as a result of that shame, we will ignore it. We will pretend it's not a problem. We will put things off. We might overspend or just have a very dysfunctional relationship with money and finance, because shame is, that's what shame does. And, you know, where I am at now in my own life with this stuff, I'm really seeing that, like, that is not our shame to carry. That is not your shame to carry. That is the shame of the education system that, you know, has literally neglected us in these areas. It's very difficult. I even like was looking up personal finance courses and, you know, like publicly funded ones, right? And it's very, very difficult to find impartial information on this stuff, because usually you have to like pay someone who takes commission, etc., for learning this stuff. So yeah, but thankfully there's a lot of resources. I'm going to talk about some resources and I'm going to link them in the show notes as well that I've come across and that I have found to be really helpful. And hopefully me sharing this and talking about this conversation will also be helpful to you too. So with that in mind, when we're thinking about the nervous system, as I'm always coming back to, the body, the feminist lens, the menstrual cycle, our relationship with money is linked to our security. So we might have like a certain attachment to it. So there can be like anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, secure attachment. And so a lot of us probably have anxious or avoidant. And then our job is to figure out how we can move into a more secure, self-trusting relationship with money and finance, and figure out, you know, how to feel comfortable with it. Because if there's a lot of shame in our relationship with money, then that's going to impact our health. It impacts our, that root chakra, you know, which some people talk about being linked to the menstrual cycle and pelvic pain as well. Like that might be true, might not be, but it's a certain view that some people have. But with like, we do know though that shame does cause inflammation and worry and stress and anxiety. And if you're not sleeping because you have money worries, then that needs to be addressed. Okay. So yeah, hopefully this conversation will support you to sort of start thinking about that. Or you probably already have been on a bit of a journey with money and finance and you're working on it. I think it's a constant work in progress, this thing, because it's constantly evolving and changing and the economy is constantly evolving and changing, etc. It's not a, you know, one and done thing. It's not like, it's similar to going to the gym. I think our, that relationship with money and finance needs to be tended to regularly because it's constantly in flow, hopefully. So I'm going to share maybe some steps for you to consider if this is something you've been wanting to work on. And firstly, I will say as well that since I decided to really work, like I was kind of forced to work on this because I have a business. And when you have a business, it is like, oh my God, it's like the number one most challenging personal development course is having a business. Like on the surface, it seems great and all that. But like behind the scenes, it's messy, it's awkward, it's a lot of personal development. I'm constantly making mistakes all the time and things are happening and I need a lot of support. But yeah, this whole topic around money and finance is huge. And when you have a business, there's, like I said before, there's two sides to it. There's learning how to make money, and that's one skill. And then learning how to manage money is like a whole other, it's like a whole other skill. So yeah, I would encourage you to kind of think for yourself, like what would be a great goal for you in this area? Is it, you know, like be ambitious. Like, is your goal to learn how to make money, or is your goal to learn, maybe you already have a job and you might be learning how to earn more money in your job or fundraise for something? That's another thing as well. Or maybe your goal is to get really good at managing your money. And I love when people set themselves like big ambitious goals, right? And they might say, oh, I really want to be a woman who is really good at making money, or I really want to be a woman who like feels really confident in how I manage my finances. And, you know, and that might bring up some fear or some judgment, but that, you know, set yourself a big goal. So that's the first thing. And then we can like break it down into small little steps. And then just like a little side note, if you are thinking about women and money, there could be like some bias or judgment towards, you know, charging a certain price for your services, or you might see other people charging, you know, certain prices for their services, and there could be some uncomfortable feelings around that. So that's something to look at too. It's like, what's that about? What are the prejudices we have or the reactions we have, and why is that there? One of the teachers who I really like and who talks about this very openly is, her name is Kelly Deals, and I'll link her in the show notes. She talks a lot about building social justice into your business model. And that's something that I'm actively doing. And I'm really proud of being able to do that. And, you know, she talks about how it's really important that you get really clear on how much you need to pay yourself in order to pay your rent and get food on the table and those things. And then look at like your business expenses, and then look at, you know, how you can, you know, sell a certain service. And then after that, then bringing in different ways that you can offer your services to people who can't, you know, afford your high ticket offers. And that is something that I'm really proud of. I have gotten my business to a place where I am able to offer a very limited number of accessibility grants in my one-to-one coaching, for example. And I have had people living with disability, people from the BIPOC community avail of those, maybe, and people who are out of work avail of those and, you know, do coaching with me. And it is thanks to the clients who don't need that, you know, who have been able to pay and afford my services, who then, you know, that allows other people to access the work. So then when you kind of set yourself a goal, like it could be, you know, you want to be a woman who's really good at managing her finances, or you want to be someone who trusts yourself with your finances, or you want to be really clear on your budgeting system, or you want to be good at, you know, figuring out how you can be a business person and make money. Then it's really just about kind of stepping back and asking ourselves, like, what small steps do we need to take? And I think a really important part of this whole money conversation is, because there's so much money advice out there, but there's very little advice in terms of the emotional side. And if you're going into a freeze response or a fight flight response or shaming yourself, which is very common around this stuff, then that's going to be a lot of heavy lifting when you want to move into an aligned action piece. And so it can be really helpful to kind of, like I did already, you know, revisit your history with money, what it was like in your family, what were the indirect or direct messages that you absorbed, what were the messages that you got from school or from university or from your, you know, the culture and the society around you? What were you deprived of, right? What education and support were you deprived of? And really examine, like, you know, does that shame really belong to you, or is it, you know, just part of the system and the impact that the system had on you? Also, it can be helpful to have a look at our beliefs and thoughts around money and finance, and particularly as women, most of us are coming from lineages where our ancestors, our, you know, our maternal ancestors, they were not able to earn a living in Ireland. I can't remember what year it was, but it's not that long ago in history in our country that when women got married, they had to give up their jobs, right? So that's all in our lineage and all of the work that women have done up until now to allow us to be in a place where we can make money. But that doesn't mean that we don't carry those wounds and that shame and those limiting beliefs and all that stuff. So it is a lot of stuff to look at. And so there can be a piece of like ancestral healing that you might want to look at in the various ways that you might think of doing. And you can just do that by like talking to someone, you can journal about it, you can just think about it, you can go on a walk and reflect, you can pray on it, you can, you know, I would encourage all of the above, like really getting clear on the sort of the story for yourself, maybe sharing it with somebody, talking it out, setting some goals and moving with compassion gently out of any kind of shame or blockages that you have. So, you know, I was kind of thinking as well, like recently, you know, we can look at the past and see how oppressed we were in terms of money and finance, etc., as women. And even today, like I have a couple of podcasts that I listen to and, you know, as we all do, and a couple of them are female podcasts. And one in particular, this particular podcaster in Ireland, I love her work. It's such a good podcast. I look forward to it every week. And it just kind of struck me because a couple of times in her chats with different people, she's kind of said, you know, in the conversations, just as a kind of a side note, she says that, oh, she's really bad with money. And she kind of brushes it off as, oh, I'm just not good with money. And, you know, that's just always the way it is. And I've never been good with money and I'm terrible at it. And I know this person is in the public eye in Ireland and I think earning quite well. And it kind of shocks me that like we just sort of accept that story as women and accept, you know, oh, I'm just not good with money. Like that might well be true. She might not be very good with money and she might not be very good with finance. But I also think that it is a feminist stance to really, you know, to choose to get good with money and to choose to learn how to be good with money. Like I want to be a businesswoman and, you know, a family person who has a decent relationship with money and has taught myself the skills to be good with finance and to learn how to trust myself with finance. And yeah, I'll make mistakes and, you know, it is going to be a long journey because like I said before, it's not like people are, you know, handing this to me on a plate. We have to figure it out. But I do want to be that person who can stand up and say like, look, I'm actually really good at money and I'm really good at, you know, managing business finance and my personal finance and you can trust me. Like if someone wants to ever invest in my business, I want to be able to know my numbers and, you know, give them, you know, the spreadsheets and the profit and loss reports and understand what the figures mean. Because when it comes to business, you don't have a business if you don't have a cash flow. And you don't know how to talk about your business to business people if you don't understand your numbers. And that's really, really, really important. When we as women get good with money in our own little way, like it doesn't mean you have to be earning a fortune or like investing in the stock market, right? But when you feel comfortable with your finances, with your personal budgeting plan, with your savings, with your business finances, there's massive healing and growth in that. There really, really is. Like money supports our freedom. It supports our access to resources. You know, it is like a piece of mental health work is this piece of work because you could be doing loads of meditation and journaling and going to therapy. But if the actual stress in your life is coming from your relationship with finance, that is not going to go away unless you look at it and unless you have that difficult conversation with yourself and get the support that you need. And again, to not go into shame, because I really don't think that it's your shame. I think it's a real cultural, you know, societal shame. Like I said, there's been a lot of gatekeeping. You have literally been deprived of information and resources and education. And I think it's, you know, a piece of activism to step into this for yourself and to learn how to get good at this in your own way. Okay. So hopefully that's an inspiring viewpoint on our, you know, pain to power journey with money and finance. It is a work in progress. It's a one day in a time, at a time progress. And I'm actually quite enjoying my journey with it because there's so much I have learned on this journey. There's so many things that I've realized I didn't know, not because it was my fault, but because I just didn't know. I just didn't know that I didn't know. I didn't have access. The education wasn't there. The finance world isn't exactly supporting us to know this stuff because, you know, then they're handing away power, right? But we're going to claim that power back by educating ourselves, thinking about the long-term goal, and then think about one or two small steps. So if you have a long-term goal of getting better at finance, then what are the one or two small steps for you? Is it maybe reading a book? Is it having a conversation with a friend, you know, exploring your emotions around this stuff and your thoughts around this stuff? Is it writing down all your limiting beliefs in a journal? Is it maybe setting up a spreadsheet where you can check in monthly or every quarter with your finances? Is it going down to the bank and asking for advice on budgeting? You know, you can actually go onto your bank's website and they have a lot of budgeting and finance tools. Is it maybe setting up some vaults in Revolut and allocating money into different funds? Yeah, or maybe you're a business person and you want to get better at bringing in revenue and you're, you know, considering your pricing and asking yourself what you need to cover your costs and your bills, etc., and what price you have to have, and doing some maths in terms of like your numbers rather than just picking a number out of thin air for pricing your services. So yeah, there really is no one right way or one thing that you should or shouldn't do right now. But what I would say is don't avoid it. Don't let the shame, you know, keep you away, because that's just, you know, the patriarchy and the gatekeeping, you know, have taking its toll on you and being in control. And so the way we take our power back with this stuff is through education, through talking, through exploring, through feeling our feelings, through asking for help, getting support. And there is a lot of support, you know, in Ireland. You can find access to information once you Google and find the right resources. And I'm going to put in a couple of books as well into the show notes. So as a business person, I really like reading material that's written by Black feminists and obviously lots of other material too, but only I think their material is particularly good because they really understand the oppression lens and the systemic lens, and they've had to work through more blocks than other people. So Rachel Rogers is a person who I'd really recommend her book. And then there's another lady called Tiffany Alice who's written a great book. And there's actually a man called Ramit. I can't remember his second name, but he's got a documentary on Netflix called Get Good With Money, which is really, really good as well. And yeah, I might put in some more resources into the show notes for you. So that's it for today. If you are interested in working with me in this area, I do have some space for one-to-one coaching for business clients, particularly people who are starting practice. I'm working with a couple of clients at the moment in terms of pricing their services, etc. And we are having a conversation about this in our menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training. Yes, we're looking at how to become a menstrual cycle coach, but again, a big part of this is also learning about business and learning about, you know, pricing and selling, etc. as well. That is in alignment with your nervous system and in alignment with the values that we are teaching in the training program. So again, go over to the link in the show notes so you can read about that there. And if you have any questions, or if you'd like to share your thoughts on this or your experiences, or if you have other resources to offer, you can email us lisa@lisadioncoaching.com, or you can comment or share messages on Instagram. Have a lovely rest of your day and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.